Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. We'll read the first four verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here at this church. Lord, tonight we come expecting a blessing because for many, many years now you've blessed this place and this congregation so much, but we need you again. Lord, what a needy world. And as the world focuses just a little bit more closely on you this season, may you give us tonight what we need to help others so they'll focus on you the rest of the year also. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of joy. I call the sermon, Joy, 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 Joy. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, we read it together earlier. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Oh, we know this, but I think it's good that we be reminded of it. Christians are to be happy. We're to be happy, and we're to have joy. We're to smile. You say, I'm happy, then some of you just need to tell your face, because your face hasn't heard about it. And we're to smile and laugh about the good things. There's nothing wrong with laughter. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to laugh when we get to heaven. I think we're going to hear the Lord laugh. I think it's going to be a delightful thing. Can you imagine sitting at Jesus' feet and watching Him laugh and watching Him enjoy life in heaven? We're all going to be there, and when we get there, there's going to be a lot to have joy about. Heaven's a wonderful place. Christians are to have delightful spirits. Don't be an old sourpuss. Don't be like that. Smile and enjoy your Christian life. I like the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I like that song. I like that sound. Yeah, the young people say, where? And we say, down in my heart. But I enjoy the song. I enjoy hearing that song. I enjoy singing that song. So it's got some different verses. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Then there's a verse, you can keep clapping with me. There's a verse that says, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on attack. Ow, set on attack. Ow, set on attack. And if the devil doesn't, he can set on attack. Set on attack to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the smile while you sing. Come on, so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus. Keep clapping. There's another verse. It says, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on a bomb. Boom! Set on a bomb. Boom! Set on a bomb. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on a bomb. Boom! Set on a bomb to stay. Now sing it. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Well, that wasn't so bad. You should have seen, as you looked across the congregation, there were some that just came into church. They had a 16-ounce dill pickle juice before they came in. They had that sour look on their face. And the first time through, they weren't going to sing. The second time through, they were afraid not to sing. And the third time through, they enjoyed singing. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we're supposed to enjoy the things of the Lord. I like the song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." You've heard it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Wait right there. You know what I thought? I thought at this point it would be good if I had help with this song. Now, Brother Bush, I have your name down here to help us with the first verse. Now, it could turn out good, it could turn out bad. Brother Bush is not our best song leader in the church. But I just wanted him to be, I wanted him to lead us in the first verse. So what we're going to do, Brother Bush, I'm going to give you this microphone and you come up here and stand. You're going to lead us in the verse, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." But I have something that I want to give you. Just in case your voice fails us, I'm going to make sure that we add to the spirit of things.
Not if it fails. As it fails.
Okay. I have this for you. If you would put that on for us. Now, Brother Bacon, I'm going to need your help. Brother Bush, you have it on backwards, but I'm not shocked. Now, so you're going to do the verse, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," just like we sang it. That's good. Now, Brother Bajan, you're going to do verse 2. "He fills my mouth with laughter, ha, 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 ha." Now, I'm going to let you use this microphone right here when you do it, and I do have a hairpiece for you. You're going to be a blonde. And then I'm going to need help with one more. And the guys on the platform are excited about this. Brother Nash, because you have... Because Brother Nash has his cordless mic on here, it's going to work out just perfect. You're going to take the third verse of this. You only have to know one word. Ha. 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 So you're the ha, 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 ha. Okay, all right. And it wouldn't be right unless you had something. That's right. So, Brother Bacon. Brother Bush, you'll use that mic. Brother Bajan, you're going to use this mic. And then, Brother Nash, you'll use your microphone. Now, Brother Bush, I've got my fingers crossed that you'll be able to get us started out right. Now, folks, I don't mind if you help them sing, but we need good, solid leadership, and you now have it. Okay, Brother Bush, lead us in the song.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
He fills my mouth with laughter.
Ha, 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 ha.
He fills my mouth with laughter.
Ha, 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 ha.
He fills my mouth with laughter.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Now, It would only be fair. It would only be fair if you got to see the other two guys on the platform with a hat on. So Brother Young, this is very good for Brother Young. Very good, Mr. Airplane Pilot himself. All right, Brother Josh, you come up here. Brother Young, you can come up. Now, Brother Nash, because you did such a smashing job, why don't you lead Brother Owens and Brother Young to help you with that last verse? You remember the words? Let's see if you could lead them, and they'll help you. And Brother Young, we'll let you use this microphone. And so we'll try the last verse one last time, okay? So Brother Nash, you're in charge.
All right.
These two guys, you guys are like a trio, okay?
All right.
And beautiful. That was beautiful. Is there anybody else you want to see do it? You know, I can. Okay, yeah. Okay. That is not what we had in mind. Oh, I hate it when my hair is frizzy like that. You know, God commands us to enjoy our lives. He commands it. There in Philippians 4:4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Then he emphasized it. He says, and again I say rejoice. It's a command of God. You know what? We are to do whatever we must do to help us to get a smile on our face. And we're not talking about things that are wrong. But God tells us we're to enjoy our Christian life. So this thing of rejoicing and this thing of enjoying life, God commands it. You gotta let that joy show on your face. Let it shine. Let it show in your eyes and let them sparkle and let it be in your attitude. Let joy sing from the Christian life. You know what happens? If you're an old-time fundamentalist and you believe the old-time way, we have a certain strictness to our life. There are certain things that we do not do and that we do not believe. But folks, if you're not careful, though, you'll let the life that you live steal the joy away from you. We need to show the outside world that we're old-time Christians, we're happy. We're happy. You don't have to have all the newfangled ways of making you happy. You don't need all the new drugs and all the new booze and all the new entertainment to be happy. You can be happy and be a good Christian. You know, joy, it strengthens a Christian. Joy gives Christians courage. Happy Christians are brave Christians. Happy Christians are Christians that do great things for God. You know something? It's very rare you'll ever see a sad person have great victories for God.
Yeah.
You ever notice? Sad people aren't your victors. Sad people are not your conquerors. It's those people that have the joy of the Lord, because that joy brings strength to our life. Joyous Christians are the conquerors. Joyous Christians are the victors. Joy is very influential. Lost sinners are attracted to people who have joy. Hey, lost sinners say, wow. I mean, they have something, and I want to get it. Well, what is it that we have that makes us laugh? What is it that we have that causes us to enjoy our life? And this is not always an easy life. But you say, we still have a smile on our face. We're still enjoying ourselves. We have Jesus. Hey, we've got salvation. And so joy is it's influential. It's powerful. Wayward Christians are attracted back to God and back to the church because the church is happy and the people are happy. Boy, sinners are not attracted to gloom and doom and depressed Christians. Hey, backslidden Christians are not attracted to depressed Christians. No, they're attracted to happy Christians. The lost are attracted to happy churches. And the backslidden are attracted to come home or come back to God because of the happiness of God's people. You know, there are people that are stuck in old, dead, dry churches that would be attracted out of such a mess because they see the happiness of our Christianity. Joy is contagious. It's contagious. Who is catching it from you? Anybody catching it from you? I'll tell you something I really do enjoy. You go to either end of our church, and if you come in from this parking lot on the north end or this parking lot on the south end, the people standing there are just having a good time. They are laughing, they are smiling, and they're just cracking up. I mean, you walk in there and they'll just be laughing and carrying on. You know something? I'm glad of that. I'm glad one of the very first impressions people have of our church are happy, fun Christians that are enjoying their life. They enjoy what they do. But joy, it's contagious. And joy is commanded. Why? You say, why would God command joy? Because it makes us like God. I do not believe that God is on nerve medicine in heaven. I don't believe God is seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I do not think that he watches Dr. Phil to hold his life together. I think God is happy. I think God is full of joy. And when we get to heaven, I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to laugh and it's going to be joyous. It's going to be a wonderful place. See, joy is commanded because it makes us like God. Joy is commanded because it's for your own good. Joy is commanded because it is for the good of others. Would anyone here say that you have the joy of the Lord? Would anyone here say, I'll tell you what, she's just such a happy Christian. Or he's such a happy Christian. Well, God commands us that we be happy. Not only does God command us that we rejoice, the joy is to be specific. Notice Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. That is a specificness, if you will. God is pinpointing that joy. He said, I want you to have joy in the Lord. You see, there are different, I don't think it'd actually be joy, but there are things in the world that might bring you a thrill or a tingle for a moment. God is making sure you understand Christians are to be happy in the Lord, not outside the Lord, not outside the confines of right and purity and goodness. Here it says we're to rejoice in the Lord. I almost picture it, and Brother Brad, I'm going to use this cordless mic for a second. I almost picture it when the Bible says rejoice in the Lord. Here's what I almost think. I almost think it's like there's a circle that we call the joy circle. And within this circle, we're to have the joy of the Lord. The problem is, too many of us step outside into the world to get our chuckles and to get our laughter. But we ought to stay in the joy circle and keep a smile on our face in the Lord. We need to get in the circle and stay in the circle of the things of God and learn to have joy in that area. Learn to rejoice in God. Rejoice in what He is and who He is and what He does. Learn to rejoice in Jesus, what He is to you. Jesus, He's your Savior. That's something to smile about. Think about who Jesus is to you. He's not only your Savior, He's your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. For instance, there's some people out there in the world, they talk about their friends. I can beat all their friendships. I mean, I'm telling you something. I have Jesus Christ as a friend. He's my Savior. He's my friend. And one of the things I just love about this whole thing, He was my Savior. He saved me. Now He's my friend. And you know something? He keeps me saved. I like that. Well, I like a friend that He keeps me saved. So when I rejoice, I can rejoice in God. I can rejoice in Jesus Christ, and then I can rejoice in the Holy Spirit. I can rejoice that the Holy Spirit works in my heart. I can rejoice that the Holy Spirit works in my church. I can rejoice in the fact that the Holy Spirit never leaves me. He never leaves me. He'll never forsake me. Wherever I go, that Holy Spirit goes with me. Boy, I like that. That's enough to make you happy. That's enough to make you smile. Listen, when you go to work tomorrow, you say, Brother Owens, when I go to work tomorrow, I got to go to work with a bunch of lunkheads. I mean, They're filthy. They're dirty. They're negative. I've got to go to work tomorrow, and it's not such a good situation. Well, let me tell you how you can go to work tomorrow and still have a smile on your face. You have a God. He's your God. You have a Jesus. He's your Savior. He is your friend. He keeps you saved. The Holy Spirit works in your heart. The Holy Spirit is working in your church, and He never leaves you. And when you go to work tomorrow, hey, just get in the joy circle and stay in there and say, what everybody else is going to do, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be happy. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm happy. We need to have joy. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let's not make the mistake of rejoicing in the flesh, the things of the flesh. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Owens? We've got a joy circle, if you will. Let's stay in the Lord and rejoice and be happy with the right things and the good things and the wholesome things. Let's not step outside of that to find our joy and our happiness. It doesn't last long anyway. The devil, he's got all these fake joys, if you will, or fake happinesses. They're not really going to make you happy. You may have a tingle for a moment, but you wake up in the morning and hate yourself. Don't do that. Stay inside the circle of the joy of the Lord. And don't, it says here, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I had a guy I went to school with. He was our school bully. Now, I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. I went to the public school, and we had a bully in our school. And he was mean. He'd flunked the whole two or three different times. I can remember in junior high. In junior high, I'm going to guess the rest of us were 11 or 12 years old. And Kenny McDavid, I hope he doesn't hear this. He'll come beat me up. But Kenny McDavid was about 4 years older than everyone else. And we had a junior high football team. And I'll never forget when our junior high football team, Kenny McDavid was in junior high and he was about 17 years old. And when we went to play football, Kenny McDavid had so much hair on his legs. You know, usually about 11, there's not as much. So here we are playing this other football team, and I hear this kid on the other team say, look at the hairy guy. We got to play against the hairy guy. And all these guys were scared to death of Kenny because he was the hairy guy. Well, sure, he was about 4 years older than everybody else. And, hey, 4 years when you're a junior higher is a big difference. Kenny, he flunked school over and over and over again. And Kenny went around boasting of how many people he beat up. I mean, if he could beat somebody up, I mean, for a little while, about one whole semester of school, everybody was, you know, keeping a little chart in their locker of how many people Kenny had beat up. Now, that's called rejoicing in the flesh. Kenny was happy about the wrong thing. And, you know, sometimes us Christians make the mistake of we start getting our jollies from the world. Or we think we'll get happiness from the world. Or the world's make-believe joy. Listen, the world, it'll take you for everything you're worth. You may laugh for a moment, but you're going to cry in the end. You'll cry in the end. Are the only things that make you happy things of the world? I mean, is it all the Hollywood stuff that really makes you have fun? Well, I'm recommending to you, you get your joy in the Lord. Make your joy come from the Lord. Are there just physical victories that make you enjoy your life? Do you enjoy spiritual things? I wish you would. You're commanded to. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord. It's specific. We are to rejoice. It's a command. And we're to rejoice within a realm. And that realm is a pure realm. That means it's doable. God could not command that you and I be happy and rejoice His way unless rejoicing His way was doable. That means you can do it. You can do it. You say, well, Brother Owens, all that filth and junk, those Hollywood comedians, they're so hilarious. I realize they cuss and joke about sodomy and all that, but they're so hilarious. They're primarily hilarious because we're not spiritual. But if we get back in this circle here, and if we'd read our Bible, you would find that the Christian life has an awful lot of fun in it and an awful lot of joy in it. It just depends on how spiritual you are to how much you will enjoy the fun things of God. Hey, do you ever enjoy it when people get saved? Do you enjoy people getting saved? Well, I'll tell you something. Some of you, you say, that doesn't mean anything to me. I would work at it because you're to rejoice in the Lord. I'll promise you this. God rejoices when somebody gets saved. God rejoices. Brother Jamie, we were talking yesterday morning at prayer meeting. He came over and said, I think a 17-year-old boy. Jamie, was he 17? Got to win a 17-year-old boy to Christ. He was so excited. He was so excited about winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Now that's fun. That's fun. You say, I've never done it before. You'd be shocked what it means when somebody's on their way to hell and you tell them about Jesus Christ and they get saved and now they're on their way to heaven. You say, I've never experienced that. It's better than getting high. It's better than getting drunk, isn't it, Brother Bajent? Hey, you ever rejoice when people get baptized? Well, that's something that's spiritual. And I think God wants us to enjoy it. Listen, if you say, Brother Owens, boy, when we start heading toward the invitation, I just wish we'd get it over with and get out of here. Boy, stay in the joy circle. Stop and realize, hey, somebody's going to get saved at invitation time. Somebody might get baptized at invitation time. And there's no telling what could happen at baptism time. There is some entertainment sometimes. Do you enjoy it when somebody rededicates their life to Jesus Christ? I mean, when somebody comes forward and they're getting right with God and they've got the courage to say to the church, I'm coming back to God. Boy, you ought to rejoice at that time. You see, the Bible commands us that we rejoice. And then the joy is specific. God is saying to us, in the Lord. But not only that, God says we're to always have joy. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice, that's the command, in the Lord, it's specific, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. What does he mean when he says always? He means always. That's what he means. Listen, when you today can't find anything to rejoice about, and you could if you wanted to, but if you say, I'm struggling today to find anything to rejoice about, then why don't you rejoice about the promises of tomorrow? If you say, I just can't find anything good in this day, well, I promise you something good coming tomorrow. We've got heaven. We've got heaven in the future. It won't be long. We'll all be in heaven. It won't be long. Mrs. Eckert, it won't be long. We'll be with you, Mama. It won't be long. We'll be there. We have wonderful promises of God. And when we can't figure out a way to rejoice right now about what's happening right now, why don't you just rejoice about what's about to come? Because there's something good on the horizon. And when you find things about which to have joy, give God credit. He's the one that brings joy. He's the one that gives it to us. If you're not a rejoicer, why don't you decide to become a rejoicer? Somebody here ought to make the decision. I just want to be a rejoicer. I believe there's somebody here, you're constantly struggling with your spirit, and you've got some life verse from, you know, the book of Nehemiah, you know, my breath stinketh, and that's your life's verse. If I were you, I would change your life's verse to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, you ought to sign it. If you ever sign a Bible or sign your name, you ought to put it on a little card and post it on the fridge. You ought to quote it all the time. And if people say, you got a favorite verse, you ought to say, yeah, my favorite verse is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You need to decide to be a rejoicer. I can remember when this truth began to eat at me. And I said, I just need to consciously decide that I'm going to keep a good spirit about things. I am just not going to turn my spirit over to the devil. I'm going to do what the Bible says, and I am going to rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, again, I say rejoice. If you used to be a rejoicer and you've stopped, won't you start again?
Amen.
You say, Brother Lawrence, I used to be like that. The life's been tough on me. There have been a lot of bumps. Why don't you just decide this evening, I'm signing up again. I'm going to re-sign up for being a rejoicer and rejoice in the Lord again. Some of you need to learn to rejoice in public. Don't be afraid to publicly be happy. You say, well, the trend is sadness and depression. That's basically what our society believes today. Well, on them. Boy, I don't know where I was the other day, but somebody said to me, well, how you doing? I said, I am doing fantastic. And they said, I can't think of anything fantastic that's going on with me. I said, well, I'm saved and everything's fantastic with me. And they don't always want to talk to me after I make those statements. Well, I go to the bank. It is amazing. Hey, anywhere I go, if people ever ask me, well, how you doing? They usually wish they wouldn't ask. I say, fantastic. Man, it's wonderful. I'm having a great day. And then I always ask, how about you? They're almost embarrassed to talk to somebody that's happy. Like, oh, man, you're weird. You're supposed to be depressed. We're supposed to be on drugs, man. Don't you know? But watch out. You've got the potential in your spirit to rejoice. God wouldn't have commanded it if the potential was not there. Yes, you may have to work at it. Learn to rejoice in public. Some of you, tomorrow morning when you go into work, be happy when you get there. Put a smile on your face. And I'm not saying that you're going to be thrilled about where you work and what you do, but you need to get a smile on your face about who your God is and where you're going when you die. When you get up tomorrow morning, you men, you won't comb your hair and you'll have a big old cowlick and you won't shave and you know you have one pant leg tucked inside your boot and one pant leg on the outside of your boot and you got morning breath and all that stuff. At least get a smile on your face because God knows everybody that looks at you needs something to be happy about. Hey, learn to rejoice in public. Learn to rejoice in private. Learn to rejoice when things are going tough. Learn to rejoice. You know something? I see it says rejoice, so we're commanded. And it says that it is a specific kind of rejoicing in the Lord. And it says always, that means all the time. Then it says, it's actually a double command. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know who it is that God used to pen this? A man by the name of the Apostle Paul. I believe Paul must have been a happy man. He must have been happy. Some of you, what I'm about to say to you in the next 10 minutes, I would recommend those of you that struggle with your spirit that you do what Paul does and what Paul teaches here in this book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And Paul evidently was a happy man. Let me tell you, as I started hopping through the book of Philippians, I began to notice that he mentioned those things that made him have joy. He mentions them. For instance, he says this. He says in Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. You know what he said there? He said, one reason I'm happy is because I pray.
Amen.
One reason I'm happy is because I pray. Now let me ask you a question. Those of you that struggle constantly with your spirit. I mean, even the thought of this sermon almost makes you cringe because you're thinking, I'm the one. I'm the one with a bad spirit. Listen, here, the question to you is, do you pray? Are you truly a prayer? Do you pray to God? Do you? And I'm not talking about you just got up and you prayed over your bowl of Fruit Loops in the morning. I'm talking about you have a prayer life. Paul said, always, in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy. Paul said, I'm happy because I pray. I'm happy because I talk to God. You say, well, what makes you happy about prayer? You get your prayers answered. You get your prayers answered. That'll make you happy. Getting your prayers answered, put a smile on your face. It'll make you happy. One of the men of our church, his company had come to him and said, we're gonna require you to move completely out of this area. And I told him, I said, boy, I really think it is God's will that you stay here. I really believe that. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, please. Please, I don't want him to leave. His family loves this place and he needs this place. And I prayed. And then he said, it looks like they're going to put the pressure on me. They're going to make me move. On Saturday, word came to me. The company changed their mind, offered him the same job that they're going to require him to take somewhere else. Said, we're going to give it to you in this district. I'll tell you something. I'm happy. I'm happy. Why? I prayed. And the reason why some of you are so sad is you never pray and you never get anything from God. And you need to learn to pray. And if you'll pray, it'll make your life far happier. If nothing else, when the preacher stands up and preaches about prayer, you can put a smile on your face and say, I'm trying. I'm doing it. I'm praying. And that'll make you happy. You see, Paul said it was joy. Prayers, true prayers, are usually joyful people. Secondly, I see here in Philippians 1:18, Paul says this, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what else made Christ, you know what else made Paul happy? Paul said, when I hear preaching about Jesus, it flips my switch. That's what he said. He said, I rejoice because I pray. Here in verse 18, he says it twice. He says, or in truth, Christ preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. You know what he's saying? He said, when I hear Christ preach, that makes me happy, and let me make it real clear, and I'm going to stay happy about it. That's what he said. I rejoice about hearing Jesus Christ preach. I love the songs about Jesus Christ. I love to hear preaching about Jesus Christ. I love coming to the part of the sermon where we always slip in the old time gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you want to be happy, hey, you just get around someplace where Jesus Christ is being preached. You go to some churches that they have the holiness of God tucked away in some closet and they don't want to talk about it. And they have not exalted Jesus to His rightful throne and they never talked about Him being Savior and He's still dead and He's still in a grave and they don't have any victory. And you'll have a bunch of gloom and doomers. It's morbid in their church. You give me a church where Jesus Christ is preached, and you give me a people that go around talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got him on my mind. You know, there are virtually people out there, the only time they ever talk about Jesus is at Christmas. We talk about Jesus 52 weeks out of the year, and this is a happy church. Why? Paul said, you preach Jesus, that'll put a smile on your face. You get around Jesus, that'll get a smile on your face. And if you can't get a smile on your face when they're talking about Jesus, maybe He's not in your heart. It's a double command. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This was Paul. Paul said, I pray, I'm therefore rejoicing. I love to hear preaching about Jesus. I therefore am a happy Christian. He says this in Philippians 1:25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I really believe this. I think Paul, he uses the word abiding here and continuing here. He said, he's saying, there is a joy that comes when you just keep on serving God and you don't quit. There's just a joy about it. When things get tough in your life, you just keep serving God. I'll promise you, on the other side of that valley is another mountaintop, and when you get through the valley of the struggle, you're going to have joy on the other side. You'll have it. But those people, when they get in the valley and they throw in the towel and they give up and they get backslidden, and instead of believing God's got joy on the next shore for them, you know what they do? They get drunk, they get high, they get depressed, they quit on God, they become critical, that they lose their joy. They lose their joy. Here he said, I have joy because I abide and there's continuance. Listen, keep on going for God. Stay in the church. Keep on serving God. Let me tell you, I think of Mrs. Osterman, Brother Osterman, up until he went to be with the Lord this last year. And I wonder, I do not know how long the Ostermans have been in this church, but it's been a long time. A long time. I look out and I see some of the people been in this church for a long time. Brother Smith, it sure brings joy to the preacher for those people that just hang in there and keep on serving God. It brings joy. Hey, and all you young people, you new people in the church, you look at some of these old gray hairs and get a smile on your face and say, thank God they stayed in this church. Thank God. What a good example. Hey, I'll make you happy. It'll make you happy when you see people that just continue and they abide. They can't just keep on going. That'll bring joy. The longer you serve God, the more joy is available. Then you can just say, you know what? I made it through another day. Woo! This is great. I mean, hey, before long, we'll close out year 2005. Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, it sure has been fun this year. I've had a good time. It's been great. And everybody that hung in there and everybody that's still serving God, you're going to look back over 2005 and say, what victory, what fun, what a great year. Were there struggles? Yes. Were there burdens? Yes. But we made it. We made it. And get ready, 2006, here we come. Wow. Woo! Hey, you just keep serving God. I say to myself, you know what? I lay an egg about every other sermon that I preach, but this is what I do. After I lay an egg, after I get my composure, I say, you know something? At least I laid another. I know all sorts of guys that ain't laying at all. They're out. They're done. They quit preaching a long time ago. They threw in the towel. They took their toys. They took their ball and went home. I might not be a good preacher, but I'm still preaching. And I've got the joy of the Lord because I have had the good sense to just continue and keep on going for God. If you pray, you'll smile. If you talk about Jesus, you'll smile. If you'll just keep on going for God, Paul said, you'll smile. Listen to this. Philippians 2:2. Remember, every one of these verses are in Philippians, all written by the Apostle Paul. Philippians 2:2, it says this. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Can I tell you something that brings joy in a church? Unity. I mean, other churches don't understand it. We're having a blast. I mean, we are having a great time. Are we perfect? No. Are we sinners? Yes. Do we fail? Yes. Do we let each other down? Sometimes yes. But you know what? We're not each other's enemies. We're a bunch of sinners. We know we're sinners. We're trying to serve God. When we stumble, we help each other up. We're not a bunch of backbiters, backstabbers, and attackers. We're a church that's doing the best we know how, and we are a group of sinners that are unified, doing the best we can to go forward for Christ. Man, that's happy. That's happy. We're a happy church. Why? We're a unified church. And if you want to see what it's like, on the other hand, you can go to all sorts of churches everywhere where they're ununified. And just see how really happy they are. They sing about the crucifixion, but they're really not thinking about the crucifixion of Christ. They're thinking about the crucifixion of the deacon. Crucify him! They like the blood, but they want the blood of the preacher. But they're not unified, so they're not happy. I'll tell you, one of the things that will steal the happiness right out of our church is a lack of unity. When we're not like-minded, when we don't have the same love, if we're not of one accord and we're not of one mind, you say, well, I'm not happy. Are you unified? Are you unified? The Apostle Paul, he goes through these passages. Listen to this, Philippians 2:16. He said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what he's saying here? Paul said, I am so happy that the work that I have done has not been in vain. Let me tell you a couple of works that you can... Well, first of all, let me tell you this. If you get people saved, they can't lose their salvation, so your work is never in vain. Never in vain. Look, every person we get saved, they may get backslidden, they may fall out of church, but there's one thing they can't do. They cannot lose that salvation. That means that work is not in vain. It's not in vain. I'll tell you something else. Here, I think Paul is saying, I love seeing the work that I have done, that it is not in vain. I love to see the people that I've helped. They just keep on serving the Lord. This morning, this evening, I looked out at a marriage. You'd never be able to figure out who it is, and I would not tell you. But a marriage that was on the rocks is over. It's done. Nobody in the church knew it. Nobody. But I knew. I knew it was over. I knew they'd already talked about divorce, and it was done. And I said, will you give me one chance to talk with you? Okay, fine. Fine. We talked. I said, will you give me a second chance? Okay. I said, will you come back a third time? Okay. A fourth. Okay. They're happily serving God. No divorce. Not even one on the horizon. They're excited about the things of God. You'd never figure out who it was. I'd never tell you, and I would recommend that they never tell anybody they were in that shape. But I'll tell you something. It's a wonderful thing in serving God when you look out at the people that you've helped, and your work is not in vain. Who has tried to help you? What has been invested in you? Will they have joy by looking at your life and say, look, I helped them. But the work was not in vain. They're still serving Christ. Listen to this, Philippians 3:1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. The Apostle Paul said, I'm writing to you and I'm repeating some of the things you've heard before. And that's good for you. And he said, it brings rejoicing to me. in something, folks. You get in a church that still believes now what it believed a year ago and what it believed a year before that and a year before that. You find a church that does not change, that it's not blown about by every wind of doctrine. It's not changing its music every time the culture changes. It does not change what it believes because of what everybody else is doing, but it's stable. It's based on the Word of God. It'll bring rejoicing to your heart. We live in an insecure world where everything's constantly changing. But you know something? We've got a book that doesn't change and a God that does not change. And when you find a church that will not change and it believes the same way, it'll bring rejoicing to your heart. I was preaching at an old PAS conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. The crowd, it was full. They were standing room only both nights. Young man came on Monday night and I preached an old time sermon the old time way and spit and hollered and kicked and snorted. When I got done, I went to the back of the building and a young man came to me. He said, "I'm from such and such Bible college in the Indianapolis area." He said, "I'll tell you something. I came over here tonight because I heard you're going to be here. And you know what? They were right. There's old time fire here." He said, "I am amazed." He said, "I'm coming back tomorrow night." The next night, he brought a whole band load of college students from an old dead, dry Bible college. When they walked in, he said, "Right there, you watch. He's going to preach like you ain't ever heard anybody preach." I got up and preached again. Those boys gathered around me like a bunch of possum wanting to eat on some honey. They said, "Boy, we heard that there were people that preached like that. We knew there might be somebody out there like that." They were so excited. Those boys were as happy as they could be. With what? They'd heard there was an old-time way. They're having a hard time finding it anywhere. Joy comes when there is a consistency and something that you can depend on and you know it's not going to change. Listen to this, Philippians 3:3. He says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Here the Bible talks about worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Holy Spirit does not produce depression. You hear that? The Holy Spirit does not produce depression. The Holy Spirit produces victory. If you want rejoicing in your life, you get yourself up close to the Holy Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit. You let the Spirit dominate your life. You get the Spirit's attitude and do away with your own attitude. Paul said, "Because of the Spirit of God, I am able to rejoice." Listen to this, Philippians 4:1. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." The Bible teaches that there's a thing called the soul winner's crown. I believe the Apostle Paul is saying there are some of you in the church at Philippi, in the Philippian church, "I won you to Jesus Christ, and you're like a crown to me. You make me happy." I'll tell you something. You get somebody saved and watch them start growing in the Lord, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. Brother Keith Leonard, come up here for a second. Brother Leonard, come on up here. I'll tell you something makes me happy. I remember one day when this fellow right here, he's not very much to look at, but you know, I remember one day when this fellow sat in my office. We got to talking about Jesus Christ. I said, "Keith, if you died today, would you go to heaven?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "Would you like to?" He said, "Yes, sir." About 10 minutes later, he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Every week, I wait to watch a red, white, and blue stars and stripe painted bus to come around this end of the building. You want to know why? Because I think Brother Leonard's a bus captain now. I don't know, but I know during the program, 40, 50, 60 kids coming into church on his one bus route. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Basin, that excites me. One fella in an office one day won to Jesus Christ. A couple years later, he brings 60 people to church with him. God, that makes me happy. Woo! Thank you, Brother Keith. Oh, I'll tell you something. You get, and again, Dr. Smith, I tell you, you've got to look around this building and the people that you've won to Christ, you look and you say, "Boy, that excites me." It's got to excite you, the people you've invested yourself in. I was thinking of Brother Rodney Kleptach as he prayed today. I was thinking about the influence that you've had on that man's life. And when I say, "What a trophy of grace, indeed he is." And let me tell you something, folks, if you want to be happy, spend your life investing in people. In people. You could lose everything in the stock market overnight and be sad. But I'll tell you, if you ever want anybody to Jesus Christ, everything you've ever invested through the Word of God, you're going to get rewards in heaven. That'll make you happy. That'll make you happy. Paul said, it is my converts make me happy. I was thinking about Brother Gordon Taylor back here, and what an incredible spirit. And I thought, I think Brother Bush and Brother Jones went out and visited him and got to win him to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't long we had the privilege of saying goodbye to his wife if she went to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. That makes you happy. That makes you happy when there are people that you've helped. Listen to this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, our text verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In verse 3, it mentioned their yoke fellows. What is being said here, Paul said, those of us that work together, he said, our labors in the Lord, that makes me happy. You know something? You ought to get close to the people that are laboring in the church. You'll find some happiness there. You'll find some happiness. You get around some of these people that are soul winners and some of these people that are doing a work for God, some of their happiness, it'll brush off on you. You can't get around Mike Major without being encouraged. He's just got a dynamic spirit about him, and I'm talking about a spiritual spirit. Nothing phony about that guy. I just love being around him. Paul said, I'm made happy because of the dedicated Christians that I spend my time with. He said in Philippians 4:10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care for me hath flourished. You want to have joy? Learn to care for other people. Learn to care. Learn to care. Brother Nash was telling me that his Sunday school class met on Friday night. They met on Friday night, and they spent the night wrapping gifts for our educable, slow teenagers and adults because we're going to throw a big Christmas party for those people in that ministry. I promise you, Brother Nash, they had fun. And those of you in the sweetheart couples class, you just watch when you actually throw the shindig for those people. You're going to walk away saying, hey, that was great. That was great. Doing that for those other people. Brother, you and your class is going to enjoy throwing a party for our widows and widowers. Hey, if you learn to care for people, that'll make you smile. That'll make your life go better. Philippians 4:18, he said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Let me tell you something, I'll promise you. You learn to sacrifice for God, a joy will come into your life like you've never seen before. Now, sacrifice is not always based on what you gave. Sometimes it's based on what you have left after you give. I mean, look, if you got $100 and you gave $1, that's not a really big sacrifice. It's how much you have left after you have given that determines the sacrifice, not how much you gave. But Paul said here, I have rejoicing, and it had something to do with sacrificing. You show me somebody that sacrifices and sacrifices big, there's just something about it that brings joy into your life. When you have overcome the stinginess and overcome the self-centeredness to the point that you have given and given beyond yourself, there's just something about it that you say, that just feels good. It feels good. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. Sacrifice for God. There's only one thing I could think of that would bring more joy into your life than these things that I've mentioned, and that is this. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you want some joy? Get saved. Because you see, you're doomed to go to hell if you don't get born again. But this evening, in this one simple little service, you could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you could go to heaven someday when you die. And let me tell you something, that's something to be happy about. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're commanded to rejoice. It's a specific rejoicing, it says, in the Lord. And we're to do it always. And it's a double command because he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he said, I say rejoice. And Paul said, let me tell you how you can rejoice. Let me tell you why I'm a happy Christian. He said, first of all, I am a happy Christian because I pray. He said, I'm a happy Christian because I'm around Jesus and I talk about Jesus. He said, I'm a happy Christian because I try to remain faithful. He said, I'm a happy Christian because I'm a unity. I'm a unifier. I'm not a divider. I believe in unity. He said, I'm a happy Christian because my work for God has not been in vain. And I'm hearing the same truth and I'm believing the same thing, and it brings stability and happiness in my life. He said, I walk in the Spirit and that produces joy. And I've got converts and they're never going to die and go to hell. And that makes me happy. He said, I'm working for God, and I'm caring for others, and I'm willing to sacrifice. And he said, you know something? When I do all that, I'm just happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he said, rejoice. He said, Brother Owens, I like to do that. Then you do what Paul did. And you'll overcome that spirit that's not really produced by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't produce depressed Christians. The Holy Spirit produces happy, victorious encouragers. And that's what we all ought to be. And we ought to help others to become it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.